opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Space is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. Then you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get on the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Gold.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
It's all love. Only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school. My household smell like soul food, bruh. Curry falafel, barbecue tofu. No fish though, no candy bars, no cigarettes. Only ganja, fresh squeezed juice from oranges. Exercising daily to stay healthy. And I rarely drink water out the tap cause it's filthy.
Lentil soup is mental fruit and ginger root is good for the youth. Fresh vegetable with them Italian stew. Sweet yam fries with the green hallelujah. Careful how you season and prepare your foods, cause you don't wanna lose vitamins and minerals, and that's the jewel. Life brings life, it's valuable. So I eat what comes from the ground, it's natural. Let your food be your medicine, no accelerant. Strictly herb generation from the sun, cause I got melanin and drink water. 8 glasses a day, cause that's what they say.
They say you are what you eat, so I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy, cause true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves. They say you are what you eat, so I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy, cause true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves. Be healthy, y'all.
Gracious Professor Griff, you're listening to Junius Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up, all right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griff from Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. Here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul, we started off the program with our message in the music from Dead Prez, Be Healthy. And that's going to set the stage for our guests, Elliot Booker and Reggie Ragu, who are the hosts of the radio program on WURD 900 AM in Philadelphia called A Time for an Awakening. And they are about to embark on a new initiative, Time for an Awakening Association Produce Cooperative and Buyers Club, Food Buyers Club, and they'll tell us more about it on the other side of this message. After this message, the next voices you'll hear will be yours truly and Elliot Booker and Reggie Ragu. So stay tuned. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, right here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com. Or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul@blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support. All right, our guests on today's program are Elliot Booker and Reggie Ragu, who host A Time for an Awakening on WURD 900 AM. And they, in addition to their community-based and spiritually enlightening radio program, they are embarking on a Time for an Awakening Farmers Mission, which is designed to utilize agriculture and black farmers to build an economic base in urban communities. Welcome to the program.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Reggie, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good. Yeah.
Okay. All right, how are you both doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about Time for an Awakening, when the program comes on, because I know WURD streams live on the internet. So tell us when your program comes on.
Come on Monday evenings at the 7 o'clock, 7 to 8 hour program, and like you said, it's a history, spiritual based program, but we deal with a lot of issues that affect our community, and we kind of embarked on this farm.
What prompted you to get involved with the farmers and food and agriculture?
Well, to be honest, I had a variety of different guests on, and my father had mentioned to me about John Boyd on the syndicated Bear Smith's program and the plight of the black farmer. And to be honest, I was kind of unaware of the real in-depth intricacies of the plight of our farmers. Until I really started getting involved, I reached out to John Boyd. He was unable to be on the program, even though I had several conversations with him, because he was kind of busy back and forth from Washington. But he put me in touch with Gary Grant, which is the president of the Black Farmers and Agriculture Association. And he kind of put us farmers, and we really started embarking on this project. Caller, when we had some farmers on, kind of challenged us to, myself and Reggie, to do something to make an impact in the community, and that kind of got us started.
So what did you do after that, after you accepted the challenge of Gary and the BIFA people? How did the response play out? What did you do?
Well, you know, initially we talked to several of the farmers, and they, you know, we kind of discovered, plus they told us that the average age of the black farmer now is 63 years old. And they said if something wasn't done by the community, or the communities directly getting involved with our farmers, that in 10 years, you know, we might not be having this conversation with them. So, you know, we kind of got involved with setting up open air farmers markets right in the communities. Our first one was up at Broad and Glenwood, at the Brownstone Center. We had our first one up there in August, I think, of 2008. And it was a huge response by the community through WRD. I think we got started like around 9 o'clock and we didn't wind up till like 6 that evening. I mean, people was coming out steady all day. And from that point on, we just, we stayed up there for quite a while, had several markets up there. And then we kind of moved down to the OIC. We moved over to West Philly. We've been in several different neighborhoods.
Now,
is
it profitable for the farmers? I mean, once they started coming up, did they see an incentive to continue doing it? And was it profitable for them to continue doing it?
I think it was. Well, they wouldn't get, you know, because a lot of these farmers are coming a great distance. And they network with other farmers to, you know, to get a load together to bring up here. So they're kind of based in North Carolina, but other farmers in the neighboring states, Virginia, South Carolina, we have farmers also that have gotten involved in Virginia and in Maryland. So, yeah, it is probable for them to come up, and especially when we can get the word out to the WRD family and in the community in general if you come out.
Now, just to chime in, basically what we were doing was trying to alleviate a lot of the stress from these farmers. As far as doing the marketing, we were doing the marketing piece in Philadelphia, playing the middleman and able to set up. You have the farmers who have the produce. All they needed for us to do was be able to set up a location and have a ready audience of people that have the money that want to buy the produce from the farm. That's basically the major role that we played in getting this set up.
All right, so you broadcasted it out on your radio program, and you worked with community groups to set up the site. So did they have several? Did you have several sites going on simultaneously, and they just dropped the produce off? Did they come up the date the night before, or how did that work?
Well, in a couple of cases, we did have two sites going simultaneously, but they would always come up, and the farmers would be there to sell. Me and Reggie kind of facilitated things, made sure things ran smoothly, things of that nature. But it's always been the goal to get to the point where they could drop stuff for us. And it was kind of me and Reggie's goal, too, to have young people being involved in selling the produce, getting involved in being entrepreneurs, getting familiar with agriculture and the farmers, and selling the produce directly to the neighborhood. We just haven't gotten to that point yet. Because we, you know, we kind of reached out to some lawmakers for help, and it didn't come as fast as we expected. So that didn't stop us. We just kept moving.
All right. So you're getting ready to, you're gearing up to do this again this season. So how long is it going to run? I know it's going to run beginning next. It's going to be running in April through what?
Well, last year, we ran, we had markets going all the way basically through the winter. I mean, we stopped in February. We'd had markets, and I was surprised because I thought it would stop at the end of November. But a lot of the farmers that's a little deeper south had still some crops, and we basically kept going up to February. It's our goal to really keep it going year round. Right now, it looks like it may be 10 months out of the year, 10 out of the 12 months,
now,
because it's some other farmers that have reached out to the Black Farmers and Agriculture Association out of Florida that, you know, the deeper south you go, the more viable crops that you have most of the year. So we'll see how things go this time.
Okay, so you're going to be able to provide a wide variety of crops. Now, is this just Philadelphia? Have you attempted to establish a network, say, like in Camden, Wilmington, Chester, and then other parts in the Northeast?
Well, you know, to be honest, we haven't really reached out to Camden, partly because I don't really know of a lot of folks there. We have reached out to Chester. Thaddeus Kirkland's office, because you know, it's being a food desert in Chester. Chester is like several neighborhoods in Philadelphia where they designated a food desert with no supermarket, you know, where the people could go and get fresh fruits and vegetables. That is an area where they have shown interest, and me and Reggie hope to be developing something there this year, hopefully.
All right. Now, I was at a meeting with you last week, and you rolled out your plan, your tentative plan for a co-op or a buyer's club. So elaborate on what that is and explain how that's going to work. So maybe some people who are listening to this around the country might attempt to replicate what you're doing.
Rick?
Well, the buying club, in essence, is open to individuals, groups, and organizations. We want farm fresh produce, and they're going to get it straight from our African-American farmers. The advantages of utilizing their purchase power is letting the dollar stretch further and saving money. One major impact of dealing with directly with farmers. You have direct knowledge of where your food is grown, supporting your disenfranchised African-American farmers, healthy eating, which is needed for our community, and finally, community economics, letting that dollar circulate more than one time in our community so we can grow and do things as African-Americans. This is the major advantages of dealing with our term for Awakening Produce Buying Club.
All right, now, is it something that you've done formally? Have you gone to the government, the powers that be, to get licenses and all that kind of stuff that usually you need to operate? Or is this a grassroots, basically, as need, ad hoc type thing?
Grassroots. Farmers, if you look at the history of farming, Brother Junius, any black town that you had in our past that was thriving, you had black doctors, lawyers, you always had black farmers were the anchor to the town. And we're just trying to reinvent, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, we're just trying to go back to our history. And, you know, we have a lot of job loss that's going on now, a lot of unemployment, food prices are going up, so we're trying to make a way that we can connect with our farmers, with our black community, to help stimulate and give some support to our black brothers and sisters. That's what we're trying to do.
No, well, that's definitely needed, because what you're going to see as this year moves on, and probably depending on the weather, a rise in basically everything, but primarily food prices, fuel, and the basically day-to-day necessities, and we need an alternative to being gagged and held up by the speculators on a commodities market.
Correct. And the black farmers, Billy and I have went out to a couple of different meetings with the farmers. They have a lot of land that's not even in full production. So we've had any business people or any families or any, you know, group or organizations that want something planted. Like, they might just be interested in getting sweet potatoes. That's what they want for their business. We're able to do that. All we have to do is be able to, you know, talk to the individuals and groups of what they want. And they have their brothers and sisters down south that has a farmland and are ready to do business.
All right. Now, are they prepared? And how long will it take you to set up a program like that? In other words, where you're taking specific orders for specific products to be grown down south. How long do you think it'll take?
They're ready to roll with it now.
Okay, so how are you marketing, other than your own radio program and coming on venues like this, how are you marketing this to the people?
Ellie and I, we were just in New York two weeks ago. We were in a program with Maurice Carver called Black Man Screaming. We talked about what we're trying to do in New York to get the New York city community involved in this program. And Ellie and I are going to Baltimore this week to do a presentation on what we're trying to do here in the city of Philadelphia.
Okay, so what's been the response say, in Philadelphia and New York?
Well, you know, a lot of people have shown interest in what we're doing. Some people, especially in Philadelphia, kind of know what we've been doing. And I think it's been a good response so far. New York, they kind of want to get organized with, you know, with a response to what we're talking about. There's several folks up there that were interested. We'll see what happens in Baltimore. We plan to go this Saturday. They have a venue down there, Black Men's Symposium, in Baltimore. We had some folks reach out to us from Washington, D.C. It's a sister down in Washington, D.C. that's doing something similar to what we're doing, and she's been doing it for a while. So it's a lot of cities now. It's a few cities that we have linked up with that have people that are doing something similar, and we all kind of seem to know one another, or we've gotten to know them. So it's a lot of help out there, and there's a lot of people interested in really working with farmers in their community.
All right, now, what type of volume do you need to make it profitable for the farmers? In other words, for them to make the journey from, say, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, up here on is it a weekly or every other week basis?
Well, right now we're doing it biweekly. We want to get to the point where we're doing it weekly. That'd be great. We plan at least a goal of $1,500 or a couple of $1,000 each journey they come up. That's what our goal is, mm-hmm. At least the minimum. I'm quite sure once people get involved, it'll be a lot more than that. Because if we had people buying cases of produce or even family-sized boxes and 100 people doing it regularly, I think we'd have a lot more than our projected goal. But I think at minimum $15,000 to $2,000, you know, for the men to come up and make it possible, profitable for themselves and other farmers.
All right. Now, at the meeting, you said you needed 12 members, or was that 12 new members? And you offer the different types of boxes. So there's a $20 size box and there's a $25 box. So elaborate and share with our listeners the details on that. What do you get in the various boxes? In the $20 box, what do you get, and what do you get in the $25 box?
Well, I'll deal with the first one first. At the meeting, it was mentioned about the 12 members, which would be ideal. Some of the people that were there represent CDCs or other local groups. So if they could generate 12 members, church, CDC, community organization, would be good. That way we could, if they develop 12 or more, we could have a drop specific. But it's going to try to to be involved individuals. So, you know, we're going to get as many people that want to get involved as individuals or groups as possible. As far as the family-sized box, what will be contained, right now we're going to do it supermarket style. The farmers will come up. They'll have a variety of fruits and vegetables. And the people can just go along and pick what they want. The $20 box would be about 25 pounds of food. And the $25 box around 30 pounds. And they can go buy and pick what they want. They might want 5 pounds of potatoes, 5 pounds of greens, various things. They might want 10 pounds of greens. Different, however it'll break down, so they can get their poundage for their family size box. That's how we're going to do it. It's been other buying clubs run by African Americans in other cities that have the pre-boxed produce. But being that we don't have the staff right now, the young people, to get involved like that, and we don't really have the money generated to pay a stipend, because I don't want young people doing anything free of charge necessarily. I want to give them a little something so they can at least see the fruits of their labor, so to speak. When we get to that point, then we can maybe start getting boxes or bags, and we can kind of pre-bag it or pre-box it for them. But right now, we'll be doing it like supermarket style.
Yeah, because I was involved with a co-op years ago, and it was a community co-op. Some Europeans came in, but they were doing it in, I guess, like West Oak Lane, right on the border of like West Oak Lane, and then I guess that's Cheltenham. And they used the black church as the venue, and they took pre-orders. Every week you put your order in, and you'd come, and they, you know, of course they were like hippie style Europeans, and so basically it was legumes, fresh fruits, and vegetables. But they would box your order, and it was there when you came, and you just paid for it. Then you put in a pre-order, but they needed people to volunteer, and I think that's one of the problems, because the black community was working class folks, so they had to go to work every day, so they didn't really have a whole lot of volunteers.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that Richie wanted to kind of steer away from right now. I asked some people to volunteer for anything, especially if we have a lot of young people working with us. We want to be able to give them at least a stipend for what they're doing.
Now, you talked about meat products. Now, how is that going to work?
Well, you know, when the people put in their membership, and that's another thing, too, in their membership, they can request things that they would like to see or have provided. Because it's farmers down there that have a lot of different things, peanuts that they grow, they make. There's a lot of things that you might not be able to get up here that can be provided to farmers. So all the people got to do is request things that they might remember as a child, or things that they remember their grandmother used to make. It's some of the things that some of these farms still produce. And they can get those things if they give us a request and what they wanted. I remember when we had our market at the Baraka Baptist Church in December, and one of the farmers came up from Virginia with all different types of greens, and he brought watercress greens up here. I mean, the people was so excited, because a lot of people expressed that they hadn't had those to a young child. So it's a lot of different things that our people might be used to or remember that they can get. If they just make a little notation on their form, I would like to see this or that. And then we could try to make this, especially if it's enough interest, try to make a way for them to get it. It's also growers down there that produce grass-fed beef, range-free chickens, goats, you know, different meats, eggs, where that can be gotten also. You know, the people just let us know. If it's enough interest, then, you know, it can be brought up also.
Well, how can
we also have some of these farmers that make their own preserves? If there's anyone into, like, jams or making it their own hot sauce, we have some farmers who do that the old style way with the mason jar. So, you know, if anybody's interested in that, you can have that brought up also.
Well, how can people see a list and get more information? Do you have a website?
Well, that's in the process of being put together now. Hopefully within the next month, we can have a website going. But right now, they can reach out to us by phone. 267-205-1570 is my number.
All right, do that over again.
That's 267-205-1570. That's Elliot Booker. And
Reggie Ragoon, number is 215-370-3038. If you want to send us some follow-up information or would like this information sent to your email address, please send a request. Time for an awakening. TIMEFOR. A is an apple. N is a Nancy. AWAKE@gmail.com.
All right, now you'll be talking about this as the season unrolls on your radio program. Your radio program comes on Monday night. What's the URL for folks so they can pick it up on the internet?
All they have to do is go to www.900amwurd.com, which is the station website, and it's a big button up there saying click to listen live, and it'll be streamed right to their home computers.
Okay.
I think it's an app for phones also, but I'm not too familiar with that.
Oh, okay. So they can, it is connectivity with like iPhones and iTunes and things like that?
I'm more than sure. Reg, you where of that?
Yeah, I believe that they have the capability of finding an app for the radio station. Now, probably find the information on the main webpage.
Okay.
www.900amwrd.com.
All right, now, what types of produce are you bringing up initially? Early on, I mean, I know there's different growing seasons and different harvesting seasons. So what are you bringing up in April and May, and what are you planning on bringing up the rest of the year, depending on who asked for what?
Now, the other thing I'm bringing up romaine lettuce, green cabbage, turnip greens, kale, mustard greens, collard greens, sweet potatoes, red and white, white potatoes, got yellow onions, broccoli, butternut squash. We'll be bringing up some fruit this year, more fruit than we've done in the past. We'll have some apples. There'll be green beans, butter beans, blueberries. Broccoli will be available, cabbage, cantaloupe, cucumbers, eggplant. Let me see, okra, peaches will be available starting in May. The big one is peanuts. People have been asking us for peanuts for the last 3.5 years, and we should have peanuts available. Pecans will be toward the end of the year, November, December. I don't know. You might have some at this go around. We have to find out. Green peppers. And that's roughly it right there. Anything else will have to be done on under the crust basin to see if we can have the farmers get it or plant it.
Okay.
Now, when they come up at the end of the month, I was talking to one of the farmers the other day, and some watermelons are going to be available.
Oh, yeah. We have several farmers that we deal with, Brother Junius. They all have different types of varieties, different types of watermelons. And it's usually talk about nice sized watermelons, and we haven't had any complaints about them thus far, brother.
All right, now you have the first rollout is in the end of this month, and I believe at the meeting you said it was going to be at the Kepler Charter School. So give us the date, times, and the particulars about that.
Really nailed down the day because depends on how many orders come out. This first go-around, we might try to have the farmers come up on Friday and Saturday. Usually they just call up Saturday. We'll really nail that down and blast out an email to all the members involved in the buying club so they know exactly when to come over. But when we do it, it'll either be Friday or Saturday. If it's a Saturday, then we'll be running it from about 10 o'clock to around 3 in the afternoon.
All right. Now, do you have several locations, or do you have a prime location, and then you're going to have satellite locations as the season progresses?
Well, right now we have two locations that we're going to be doing some things out of right now, and that's Skepper Charter School, which is at 144 Carpenter Lane in the Germantown section of Philadelphia. And the Baraka Baptist Church, which is at Shelton and Limekiln Pike, 6327, I think, Limekiln Pike in the West Oak Lane section. It's going to be other locations, most likely. State Representative Pinata Johnson has requested us to come to the South Philly area, and I have to reach out and touch base with him. So it's going to be other locations. I know that for sure. But right now, we're kind of starting with those two locations.
All right. Now, how can people get on a list to get the blast and to get the information, or if they want you to come to their community? Say someone's listening to this who lives in Camden, or someone who's listening to this who lives in Trenton. How could they get you to come or to hook up with either CDCs or community groups or individuals in their area to make it worthwhile for the farmers to come there?
Well, if it's outside the Philadelphia area, the best thing to do to generate enough interest in their community group or church, if it's 20 or more members, locally, you know, we said 12 because we don't have to do that much. It might not be that much travel involved around the Philadelphia area. But outside the area, if they can generate enough people, 20 or more people that are interested in bulk buying or being in the buying club or buying just cases of different produce, then we can try to make arrangements to have the farmers drop in their area. All they have to do is reach out to us again at the numbers that we said earlier, or the email address at timeforanawakening@gmail.com, and we can do something, make some type of arrangement.
Okay, give those numbers again with your names and any other pertinent information about getting involved and helping it ripple out beyond the Philadelphia area. And that's number one. And number two, will you give updates in terms of your development with Baltimore and New York? And how will people find out if that's a go in those two cities?
Well, again, my name is Elliot Booker. The number, contact number is 267-205-1570. My partner that works along with me closely is Reggie Ragu, and his number is 215-370-3038. Or you can reach out to us at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. We'll be giving updates to the interested parties of the email on the radio, what's going on in some of the other areas and the people that want to get involved. I think Chester, being that they reached out to us in December, I think they will be one of the first ones outside of the Philadelphia area that's going to get involved. I want to reach out to State Representative Kirkland's office and let him know that we're kind of ready to start making deliveries, and I'm more than sure that they'll be involved.
Now, one of the things you talked about at the meeting was the need to provide healthy, nutritious food, and some of the items you were talking about, and I thought about it when Reggie was running down the list. A lot of our people are two and three generations or more removed from the South. And so if they don't go down or they don't have any contact with their uncles and grandmothers or great-grandparents in the South, and their folks aren't familiar and don't prepare it here, a lot of young people won't know what you're the benefits of what you're providing, because a lot of times all they know is the franchises and the Chinese places that proliferate our community.
Well, I think that's why now Reggie does some work at the Kepler Charter School with a lot of our students. That's one reason why we really want to get the young people involved, because if we could show them the entrepreneurial side of the fruits and vegetables, and whether we can set them up a little stand in their communities where people can get these organic fruits and vegetables more reasonable than the stores, I think it would kind of help start to re-educate some of our young people as to the value of eating fresh fruits and vegetables, and it, maybe go a long way to kind of help redirecting the thoughts of some of the community. Right?
Yeah, I agree. I do a mixed martial arts class three times a week with the children and adults at Kepler Charter School. But one of the major things for the adults that want to join the class, one of the main instructors, this thing is you got to change your eating habits, live the way you think. You can't want to train and to get yourself healthy unless you really want to change, you know, your diet and what you're eating and consuming. Anything other than that, you're just beating a dead horse with choice of lack of better words, or, you know, it's a self-defeating action. You know, you go to work out and then go home and eat fast food, you're not going to lose any weight, and you're not going to, you know, you're not going to feel healthy as good. But I think with the children, one of the major problems is the disconnect, because they think when they go into the supermarket, you have a large majority of our children that think that's where food is grown. They don't have an understanding of that. And it's a sad state. I didn't believe it, but go ask a few children, and they don't even understand anything about the process of growing food. And I think we need to get our children reinvigorated of wanting to learn about the land, the soil, and them doing for themselves as far as this process goes. We're going to need some African-American young children to take up the banner of farming, or we're going to be in a perilous situation in our future, and we have to depend on other people that don't have our best interests in mind.
Yeah, you mentioned something about taking young people down south to let them see the farms and let them see how food is grown. And I think that's fantastic, because when I grew up, I have relatives, and now I've inherited the property in Virginia. So I know what farming takes, the small farming, how that's a struggle. But again, like I said at the meeting, and you just reiterated and verified, many and too many of our young people don't know where food actually comes from, and they think that the stuff that they're eating at these fast food franchises is real food, and they don't. And even if they choose healthy items from the menu, for the most part, it's not the type of mixture of food choices that they need to sustain them and to get them off of this fast track to diabetes and heart disease and obesity that they seem to be on.
And what you're going to do is, you know, another thing, if you look at our community especially, you know, a lot of, if you look at the inner cities, I don't care what city you go to, you have a lot of folks, if they go to the store and they don't have a vehicle, which a lot of these stores know, you know, you could pack up a certain amount of food to put in your car to get it back home if you have to get on the bus or subway train. But what they're doing to our people, they're just jacking up the prices so much. So if somebody wants to come in to a store and buy broccoli, but they know they can go get a burger, two hamburgers, two for $4, and they have to feed their family, you know, more than likely, the person's going to go get those two burgers, and they got to feed their family. They have a family of four or five, and they're struggling with money. So I think, you know, part of what we're doing is trying to make eating healthy, economical, where it's not going to be hurting their budget, also trying to help the community locate that dollar in the community more than one time so they can get the benefit and we can grow businesses, and also help the hearts and the minds of our children, help them. So in the future, they have something to do. We don't need to look for our enemies to create jobs for us when we have things that our children can do. We can educate our children in farming techniques, farm education, get them to become mentored by some of these farmers so they can have a career, and we can start developing our own curriculum for our children to have something to do, so we don't have to depend on our enemy to create jobs and to sustain our people. We have enough foresight. We have enough people that have the mindset that want to do that. We just have to come together and do it. And this is one stepping stone for a lot of problems in the community. But I think food justice is something that we need to start looking at very, you know, very keenly about what's going on with our food.
Well, that's true. And the other thing is we need to go back to basics, because our community, like most of America, has been brainwashed into the get-quick, get it now mentality, the microwave instantaneous response mentality. And when you are dealing, everything is in its own time, and you have to be patient, and you have to understand that you plant a seed one day and you don't go back 2 days later to dig it up to see if it's making any progress. So the more our children are exposed to the natural process, I think the more in line with sound reasoning, because you can't make it in this world long term trying to do the short, get the short, quick fix for everything. We see that that's what's happening on the economic front, where the country is imploding because of all these speculators. And the real economy is going down the tubes, and we're going to be left in a lurch because we can't even provide for ourselves, and those who can are going out of business, as you pointed out at the meeting last week.
Well, you know, I agree with you. That's why I really think that the what we're trying to do is will really appeal to a lot of people in the churches, the community groups, and then our neighborhoods, period. I think it will really appeal. It has appeal. The people have came out in mass numbers to the open-air farmers markets, and I think this is just a natural progression that we're trying to do, this buying club, where the people can start getting more and buying in bulk and providing a little more for their families and relatives. And people in the community might be a little needy. Some of the seniors, things like that, that can't get out, that still know the value and want fresh fruits and vegetables. This would be a way to, you know, to provide for them also.
That's a way also to, because if you have an elderly couple, they might not need a full box like you're providing, but they can share it with their neighbors or their people at the church or what have you. So, because a lot of times you go to these European, Euro-American buying clubs, and it's all bulk items. And, you know, part of the education and part of the practicality is marketing it so that even if you're buying just a $20 box and it's only two of you, you might want to share it with someone else or go in, you know, collectively with several other seniors or family members to make it worthwhile for everybody.
Yeah, that's why we're keeping it, and the farmers really are doing this, keeping it at a price range was economical, where our community can't say no. The money that they'll be spending to provide fruits and vegetables for their family, you can't get equivalent at the stores. And the real measuring stick to what we're doing is fresh grocer. I'm sorry. What is that? What's the name of that store, Reg? Yeah, Whole Foods.
Whole Foods.
Is basic equivalent to what we're providing to the community. So for them to try to compare it with Acme stores like that would be an injustice. You have to compare the organic fruits and vegetables that we're bringing up to them. Is Whole Foods would be the real measuring stick of comparison to what we're providing.
Yeah, unless you go like in where I am in New Jersey, you have a lot of produce junctions and produce farmers markets, what have you, particularly during the summer. But that's the only comparable thing I see to what you're doing. And, you know, the produce junctions here are relatively reasonable, but sometimes I look at the quality and availability of the fruits and vegetables, and it's kind of suspect. So, and it's coming from, because now the produce junction that I go to, they label where it comes from, and a lot of it is coming from outside the country.
Yes. I'm glad you said that, brother. I just had a conversation with someone about that today. Produce junctions that you see around that popping up everywhere. A lot of people have to understand that when you see a lot of these brothers and sisters that are on their trucks and they're selling their goods to you, it might be a black face. It's not having any problem with them trying to do something to support themselves and their family. But their body is straight from the produce junction. They're not helping African-American farmers at all. That produce that they're getting, most of that produce is off the dock, has to be sold within a certain time frame. It might be stuff off of skids, less skids of oranges, for example. That might be slightly bruised. That's why you have these guys able to set up and sell 10 to 20 oranges at a dollar a bag, whatever the case may be, because they know the stuff is not wholesome, it's not fresh. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give our potential members a good quality product at a reasonable price and rate.
Now, you said, you mentioned at the meeting the other night that the farmers were transporting the produce in refrigerated trucks. Elaborate on that, because sometimes, you know, in the old days, you see the hucksters out there, and I'm of the era where they used to have fish guys coming around. They had the fish on ice. They had the what they call the hucksters. They would come around, you know, get your watermelon and fresh fruit, you know. So this is not that brothers on a rickety pickup truck. This, you're talking about a fully refrigerated, in some cases, tractor trailer.
Correct.
Yes. Yes. Usually when we would do the farmers markets, we would let them know, you know, we would publicize it. And usually Tuesdays or Wednesdays, the farmers would round up everything that is to be brought. Go to the fields, make everything is boxed, packed. Fridays they would load it. Well, Thursday and Friday they would load it. Friday they would leave out in the evening so they could be here early Saturday morning, and it would be sold. So it really would be a 2-day turnaround at the latest of them from the fields straight to the community. Some of the stuff, especially if it was summer, they had to be cooled 24 hours. I think a lot of the potatoes and all sweet potatoes, things like that, I think it was supposed to be cool or take the heat out of it from the fields. I'm starting to get more familiar with a lot of the terms they use. But it really wasn't much of a turnaround from the fields straight to the folks' plate. And not to be critical of anybody else selling anything, but I think what a lot of folks don't realize, Reggie mentioned it about the quality of produce, Johnson. The produce that they sell in there is rejected lots of produce. And when I say rejected lots, not that the food is necessarily bad, but if it's shipped, let's say, for example, if greens are supposed to be shipped at 48 degrees and somebody shipped it at 52 degrees, then the supermarket has the right to reject the lot. I don't want it. That's where a lot of the produce junctions come in, because they would buy up all the rejected lots of produce and just blow it out. Dollar back, good. A dollar for two bunches, things like that. Mm-hmm. But they're going to really blow it all out, because once you take it home, if you don't use it right away, that stuff will start going bad.
Yeah, and some of the people who ride around direct to the community are going down to Packer Avenue to the food distribution places and buying a bulk of that, dividing it up, putting it on trucks, and, you know, going around the different neighborhoods too. That's something that's happening in Philly.
And again, you really have no idea of the freshness quality of the food. So, you know, not any food is bad. And plus, it's a lot of food is not organic. Pesticides are used on a lot of the food. It's a hybrid seed used on a lot of the food. I mean, that's grown with the GMOs, a lot of hybrid seeds, because you have a lot of seed that's melon, seed that's grapes, things like that around now.
Yeah, that was a point that was brought up at the meeting, in terms of, it seems like America and in general, and our community in particular, is really not aware of the what I call the Frankenfoods, the GMOs. And so, are you saying that the bulk of the food that's coming up is certifiably organic?
Well, a lot of the, because that certification, as Richard probably said, is very expensive. A lot of the farmers that are involved in the Black Farmers Agriculture Association and Saffron and others are certified organic. Some of them that can't afford the organic certification use organic principles in growing their food. In fact, a lot of the Bernardi farmers use organic principles. They use their own seed. They retain their own seed. So, you know, everything that we're bringing up is from organic farmers. All of them might not be certified, but they all use organic principles.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're almost out of time. So what I need you to do is give your contact information again. Give the date and time of your next meeting at the Kepler Charter School, and also close out with your information about your radio program.
Well, again, Elliot Booker. My contact number is 267-205-1570. And you can reach us at email at timeforanawakening. That's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. And Rich?
Rich DeMagnum. Phone number is 215-370-3038. Number again is 215-370-3038. Email address is timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Right, and your program, so people can get the latest up-to-date information, airs when?
Monday evening at 7 o'clock on WRD 900 AM. Now, as far as the next meeting, we'll kind of let everybody know, because we're in the process now of kind of developing a lot of the orders. So let a lot of folks know by email and also on our program when the next gathering will be.
Okay, brothers, appreciate what you're doing, and keep me abreast of what's going on, because I've watched you. You gave the announcement. Was that something you gave the announcement in January? So you are marketing it, and we wanted to do what we can to help you grow and help other people replicate what you're doing, because it's vitally important.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank you for reaching out to us, sir, Judy.
Okay, man. Stay strong.
Okay, bro. All right. All right, you too.
Okay.
Okay. Cyberspace is a place that only a human being locates.
Our guests were Elliot Booker and Reggie Ragu, the hosts of Time for an Awakening, and their initiative is the Time for an Awakening Farmers Mission. And their goal is to utilize agriculture and the black farmers to build an economic base in urban communities. And they also want to be able to provide fresh, wholesome, nutritious, and organic, where possible, fruits and vegetables for our people. Elliot Booker's contact information is 267-205-1570. Reggie Ragu is 215-370-3038. You can email them at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. timeforanawakening@gmail.com. And as we close out the program, we encourage you to listen to their program. The program is heard on WURD 900 AM in Philadelphia. It is streamed on the web. I believe the program comes on at 7 p.m. You can go up on the WURD website and see the schedule, listen to them, and get more information. They are in the process of expanding the program throughout Philadelphia. They are making inroads in Chester, Pennsylvania, and they have put out feelers in Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and New York, as they both said on the program. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. As always, we encourage you to engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind. The rest will follow. We also wish each and every one of you love, peace, health, prosperity, wisdom, but most of all, power. The power to actualize your full potential, to find meaning, purpose, and fulfillment in your life, so that you evolve into all that the Creator intends for you to be. Your life manifests magnificently as one who has actualized divinity, innate genius, talents, creativity, and power within you.
Until next time, stay strong.